branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the internet show all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
Hello, marketing muggles. It's episode 32 of the internet show that's focused exclusively on small business marketing. My name is Jay Arrett. My company is The Marketing Spot. My website is themarketingspot.com. My blog is themarketingspotblog.com. And this is Power to the Small Business. Welcome. How's the summer treating you? It's hot as Hades here in Texas. And to my friends in the Southern Hemisphere, how's the winter this year? I have a daughter and grandson who live in Brazil. They say it's cold this year, and they don't have central heat and air, so I'm sure that makes it worse. Now, I'm going to confess to you that I've resisted the personal branding trend for the past few years, thinking it's just a fad. It's marketing guys trying to carve out an unneeded niche. But I've been rethinking that position because, in fact, sometimes people are brands. And so I came across Peter Montoya, who was early to the personal branding game. He wrote a book called The Brand Called You. I browsed through the book. It's filled with lots of practical advice on how to build your personal brand, not just theory stuff. So, Peter is our guest today on Power to the Small Business to discuss personal branding. And so we're going to the Skype line where we have as our guest today, personal branding expert and author of The Brand Called You. It's Peter Montoya. Peter, welcome to Power to the Small Business.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
By the way, your book is the first book that I'm reading on Kindle, actually the iPhone Kindle app. So you have that distinction of being my very first Kindle book.
I'm honored.
Before we get started into branding for small businesses and entrepreneurs, tell us a little bit about your book, The Brand Called You. What kind of book is it?
Well, it's really about how a solopreneur both markets and brands his own practice. So at most solopreneurs, when they first get started in business, they're trying to figure out, you know, how do they name their company, how do they specialize, what direction to take the business. And this book really is a handbook for people who are running their own business, their own practice, to brand and market themselves.
And what's your definition of solopreneur?
Well, most solopreneurs means that they're usually in some kind of a professional service business, by and large. So this is kind of a generality. So a lot of realtors, financial advisors, doctors, dentists, chiropractors, architects, engineers, people who are selling a service that usually they deliver personally.
So, Peter, you're a personal branding expert, and let's just get into this personal branding versus regular branding, I guess if you could call it. How is personal branding different from branding, say, a traditional business?
So there's personal branding, there's corporate branding where you're branding a corporate entity, there's product branding, there's service branding. So personal branding is where you have a human being at the center of the brand. You have some kind of persona. That can be a real life person like Charles Schwab or a Walt Disney, or it can even be a made-up entity like Betty Crocker. So Betty Crocker wasn't actually alive. She was a figment. They made her up, but it's still a personal brand.
Okay, so a lot of small businesses are focused on the entrepreneur who started that business, and many guys like me start off just, hey, throwing up a shingle and I've got a business now. So if you are an entrepreneur, do you need a personal brand as well as a business brand?
Well, it's not really you need it or not. You certainly do have it. So all of us have personal brands. And a personal brand, the easiest way to define a personal brand is your specialization and the relationships that you have with people that know you. So it's more or less who you are and how people feel about you is more or less what your personal brand is. Now, whether you decide to use that personal brand for your business is a completely different question. I like to recommend using, well, first of all, personal branding is not right for all businesses. It's really not. It is very appropriate for any businesses when the personality is a center figure. So, for example, I have a doctor. I know my doctor's name, but I certainly don't know the medical group he works for. I have a dentist. I know his name, but I don't know the medical group he works for. I've got a financial advisor. I think he's got some company name like, you know, Universal United Financial Wealth Management Group, and I could care less about that name. What I really know is my financial advisor's name. So whenever, as a consumer or a business, your primary relationship is with that central figure, that's when personal branding is very, very appropriate.
So, like, my business is called The Marketing Spot, but I'm really, I have a virtual assistant and a personal assistant, but really the company is me. So, based on what you said, my company, The Marketing Spot, would benefit from me also having a personal brand for Jay Arrett.
It certainly may help you if that name is more prominent. So especially if you go and start to write a book, if you start doing more media on TV, it's much more easy for people to remember your name, first name, last name, go do a search in Google and find it, versus having to remember both your name and then try to remember the name of your company. And maybe they remember your name and all your branding on your website online today is under your company name and people don't find you. So the number one goal of an identity is to make sure people remember it, can find it, and can refer it. And what happens with so many small businesses these days is, well, say it's a chiropractor, and everyone knows the chiropractor is, I don't know, you know, Dr. Thomas, and Dr. Thomas is my chiropractor, he's a great guy, go see Dr. Thomas, and he's got a company name called, you know, International Health Institute, and people go online to find it and don't find Dr. Thomas because he's branded as the International Health Institute. So that identity and how you're remembered, how you're referred, and how you're found, especially online these days, is absolutely critical.
When you're starting a business, and so few entrepreneurs really think of this when they're starting a business because they want to name their business and they want a cool name, but they don't really take into account, you know, the personal brand that's going to go along with their business. And from what I hear you saying, it would be pretty important to consider your personal brand when you're first starting your business as well as your business brand.
It's absolutely critical for certain professions. So, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs try to figure out the criteria for naming their business. They think, okay, you know, the most important goal of a company name is to create a name that sounds cool. You know, I want a great perception. I want to create a company name that instills credibility just by the essence of the name. I want a company name that is more sellable later, so I'm going to make sure it's a corporation versus a personal identity. And those goals are all secondary. The most important goal of a company name is to make sure the company name is remembered, referable, and found. What good is a company name if your clients don't know it, they can't refer to their friends, and their friends can't find it when it's been referred upon? So all those other goals of creating a cool name or making sure you can sell it later or anything else are all completely secondary to getting the business up off the ground, which is, means people know what it is and they can find it.
Okay, so back to personal branding. Give me the basic steps. How do I get started in creating my personal brand?
Easily. Far and away, the very important, most important first step is you've got to specialize the brand. I get asked this question a lot about specialization. Is specialization knowing what your target market is or knowing your products and services are? And it's both. So specialization is a never-ending process of refining your products and services for a defined target market. Specialization is absolutely vital to all branding today.
So specializing, I don't want to just be, say, a marketing expert or a marketing consultant. I want to be a small business marketing consultant or one that maybe specializes in working with dentists. Is that kind of what you're saying there?
That certainly could be true. There's no hard and fast rules about specialization, which means is how narrow is narrow enough? And that's basically what you're asking. You know, Peter, does he specialize in marketing for just small businesses, or should he be more narrow than that, marketing for dentists? The basic rule of thumb is the following. The more competition you have, the more specialized you should be. If you're the only marketing expert in the world, and you're specializing in small businesses, you've got no competition, you can easily specialize in that. However, the more competition comes into the space, over time, the more specialized the new players will be getting in individual little niches.
And with the age of social media and online and the internet, I think what you're saying there, you should be really specialized because it's, you know, it's a wide open space out there. And just like in my field, small business marketing, and you for personal branding, they're now becoming even more personal branding experts out there. With this age of internet, we should really look at specializing as much as we possibly can.
I certainly tend to think so. With 360 million people here in the United States, it's a lot of people. There's a lot of little niches. So you've got to look at your business model, but oftentimes you can make a lot more money in a small marketplace, especially considering there's so many mature, larger places in most market spaces.
Our guest is Peter Montoya. He's a personal branding expert. He's also author of the book called The Brand Called You. We're talking about personal branding. And Peter, so that's the first step, specialization in getting my personal brand. What do we do next?
Well, part of that branding process is to really figure out what is the unmet need. So I ask this question to my audiences, and the question is what is the fundamental thrust that drives all of marketing? What is the underlying concept that drives all of marketing? And the answers I usually get is, building a brand, building credibility, making more sales, making more money. And these are all great answers, but it's not really hitting the nature of the point. The true thrust of all of marketing is to find a large unmet need and fill it. Find an unmet need and fill it. So when you see a world-class brand, it's not a world-class brand because it has a really great logo. People might say that Google's got a great logo because it has those different colored letters, or Starbucks has got a great logo because it has that mermaid there, or Nike's got a great logo because it has a Nike swoosh. Well, the icons that really came to symbolize the brand and the perception of the brand came secondary to finding a large unmet need. So those companies have built brands because they found a large unmet need, and they specialized in meeting that need, and their brands developed that. So when building a specialization, the small business owner has really got to understand what is the large unmet need that they fill better than any one of their 10,000 competitors in their same market segment. Brand is basic business strategy 101. What is the need that you fill, and how do you fill it better than anybody else?
I want to go back to this unmet need, because there are a lot of unmet needs out there. But also, don't you think you need to tie that back in, though, with your own strengths and your own, personal interests, too? Because I can go out and find an unmet need, but gosh, I'm not going to be able to, I don't build websites or, stuff like that. I don't want to do that. But there may be that unmet need out there.
Yes. So there's this old, adage, which is partially true, which is, find what you love and the money will follow. And that statement is partially true. And how I would add on to that is find what you love, make sure there's a market there, and the money will follow. So there is this kind of symbiotic relationship between the strengths of the individual, what the individual is passionate about doing, and also making sure there's a marketplace.
I've been reading in your book a little bit. You talk about authenticity, and you talk some about perception also. Now, you say that your personal brand must be authentic, but you also talk about being able to control people's perception of you. Tell us how we bring that together. How do we remain authentic, and yet at the same time, we create this perception that we want of us?
I was reading a fantastic article this morning that really sums this up. It was an article about Jesse James, the welder / motorcycle builder who did all these reality shows out of Long Beach. And I was thinking about him as he was talking about this. He married Sandra Bullock, and Sandra Bullock was starting to take him to some Hollywood parties, and how he felt completely awkward there, because there are so many people being so phony, trying to be liked. And Jesse just says, I'm a welder. I'm a welder and a bike builder. And even though he makes probably millions of dollars on reality TV, I get a sense of he is really, really, truly authentic. What we see on TV is exactly who he is. He's unabashed, unapologetic of just being who he is. So that's truly being who you are. So there's who you are, and there's how you behave. And sometimes people get that confused. Some people behave rather rudely, inappropriately, or say things they shouldn't say, and they say, well, that's just who I am. No, that's not who you are. That's how you're behaving. There's certainly different, for example, most people would never swear in front of their grandmothers, but they might swear in front of their buddies. Are they still being authentic in both places? Well, of course they are. So there's different ways of being authentic. It's a matter of altering your behavior appropriate for the place that you're in.
How do you put that into your brand then? What do you say to these solopreneurs so that they can get the right perception and yet be authentic?
So what I usually ask my clients to do is take a total look, total inventory of who they are. They might say, okay, let's look at who you are as far as your family and your political views and your religious views and your hobbies and where you went to college and your religion and your pets and your family and your hobbies and your interests. Now, let's take a look at your clients. What are they interested in? Well, they live in the same neighborhood. What kind of religion do they have? Do they travel? What do they have? And you really want to bring out of yourself and express the parts about yourself that are most in common with your target market. So it's not like, if you play golf and your clients are all blue-collar workers, and they don't play golf and they don't really relate to it, I certainly wouldn't bring that forth. But you might bring the fact that you fish with your son. It might be a little more appropriate for that target market. So you want to bring out of yourself the things that are most appropriate for your target market.
So earlier you mentioned branding is about the strategy and it's about your specialization. The tools are the stuff that people like to do to put their brand out in the marketplace, like business cards, and you talk about brochures, a personal brochure in your book. What are some of the tools, though, that we need now that we've defined our brand to start communicating our brand?
There's a whole list of potential tools you could have, and different tools are required depending on a couple different things. Number one, your product and your service, which means how people come to buy your product and service, and also your marketplace. So let me give you a long list of tools, and I'll give some stronger recommendations to others, and I'll give some maybes to some other ones.
Okay.
So in this digital age, number one, you absolutely must have a website. That's just beyond all other. There's no question about it. It is your credibility-building tool. I mean, the basic assumption is if you don't have a website, you're not a real company. Hmm. So you absolutely must have a website. You must have four basic pages on that website, a home page, and the home page explains who you are and what you do. A product or service pages, more information on your products and services. Your history or your personnel page, which talks about the people inside your company. And the last page is your contact page, giving with map and phone number. Next to a website, you really must have a logo and stationery. A logo actually is three components, name, slogan, and icon. So most people think about the Nike logo just being the Nike swoosh, but actually the Nike logo is three components. It is the name Nike, it's the Nike swoosh, which is very famous, and also the slogan, Just Do It. That becomes one unit and goes on all of your marketing and branding pieces to tie everything all together. So you really must have a logo with all those components together, and it becomes your coat of arms. And your stationery obviously includes your business card and your envelopes and your mailing label and your note card. So both your website and your logo and stationery are absolutely critical for any business. Next, if you are in a professional service business and you have a multiple-step selling process, like you're a financial advisor or a realtor or an architect or an engineer, you also should have a presentation folder. Presentation folders are normally 12 inches tall by 9 inches wide. They have pockets inside, and they allow you to make a presentation. It's a nice leave-behind after a sales presentation. You may consider having a personal brochure. Many of my clients have used that very well, the calling card. Personal brochures, they're most typically created out of an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. They're tri-folded. I'm not a big fan of those. They look really cheap, very chintzy. They're hard to design. They're kind of ugly. And the brochures that we like to see are ones that actually fold to a size like 7 by 7, so they're square. And when they're opened, they're 7 inches tall by 21 inches wide. The personal brochure is a very nice tool. It's a prospecting tool, especially if you're in a referral-based business. You should have a personal brochure. You may consider a personal postcard, a personal flyer, which is like letterhead but a little bit different. It's also 8.5 by 11, but in full color, and be used for overprinting information on your products and services. You may have advertisement, a PowerPoint presentation, billboard, building signage. So those are some of the basic branding tools you should have. And there are maybe a couple others, just depending on some different marketing applications, whether you're doing a lot of PowerPoint presentations or websites. There's other things you could do, but those are the basics.
Okay, so Peter, I guess what I'm wondering is, we go through this and we're working on this personal brand. Where does it take us? What do we get from having this personal brand?
Branding really has two goals. First goal is to get clients. Second goal is to keep clients. So the goal of a brand is to help you attract and keep more caliber clients. Most people think that branding is about this kind of perception and creating an identity and creating a wow factor, but I look at branding as a very, very hardcore goal of keeping clients. That's what branding really does.
Very practical. I mean, what are we in business for, right?
Exactly right. Getting key clients.
So, Peter, let us get to know you a little bit more. Let's get into your personal brand a little bit. Tell us a little bit about the man behind the expert here. What do you like? What are some of your personal interests and hobbies?
I live down here in Orange County, California. I've got a wife and two beautiful children, a 6-year-old girl named Piper and a 3-year-old named Max. And I'm absolutely obsessed with being a great dad. So I happen to have the good fortune of traveling at least 150,000 miles a year. I just logged my 1,000,000th mile on United, almost all within the continental United States. So I speak about 125 days a year. I probably work 70 hours a week. And the rest of the time is spent loving my wonderful wife and beautiful children.
And tell us where we can find you on the web, Peter. Where can we find out more about Peter Montoya?
Now, this is going to be a big shock and pretty hard to remember, but you can find me at petermontoya.com.
Wow, pretty hard, huh?
that's the whole idea behind branding. I mean, you look at most small businesses, when they start branding themselves, it gets all complicated. And the whole idea behind branding is simplicity. But it'd be easy to remember, easy to find, easy to refer.
Well, Peter, we appreciate your insights and your thoughts about branding here today on Power to the Small Business.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here, Jake. Good luck.
I like the way Peter breaks some of the concepts down into simple, understandable ideas. Like, the number one goal of an identity is to make sure people remember it, can find it, and can refer it. And then there's branding really has two goals. The first goal is to get clients. The second goal is to keep clients. So what about your personal brand? Peter's got me thinking about mine. I need to do some work cleaning up my brand. What about you? Peter Montoya's book is The Brand Called You. I'll link to it in the show notes, and you can find all the show notes on the blog at themarketingspotblog.com. Got a couple of announcements for you before we end the show. I'll be at PodCamp Boston August 8th and 9th. A lot of really good podcasters will be there. I'm taking my recorder to see if I can snag some big names for future podcasts. If you're going to be at PodCamp Boston, hey, please holler at me. Let's discuss podcasting, branding, marketing, whatever you want. Also coming up in the second half of August, I'll be doing a free webinar on branding your business. What is a brand? How do you get one? Watch the blog for details, and if you subscribe to the Marketing Spot blog, you'll be notified automatically in August. Got a comment on personal branding? Go to themarketingspotblog.com. Let your voice be heard. While you're there, subscribe to the show on iTunes so that you never have to miss an episode of the internet show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the small business. My name is Jay Arrett. Have a blessed week.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.